Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, September 7th, 2016 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is, to be sure. And it just gets wilder and stranger all the time. I can't help feeling that we are headed for more trouble and more strangeness in this cartoonish dystopia we call reality in America, or at least some do, as we look at the national election cycle this time around. So we'll talk about that just a little bit, but I also want to talk about Jeff Cooper and some Jeff Cooper quotes. John Dean Jeff Cooper, born May 10th, 1920, was known, or I suppose is still known, as the father of the modern technique of handgun shooting. And most firearm professionals consider him to be one of the 20th century's leading experts on the use and history of small arms. Colonel Cooper is noted for his no-nonsense quotations about guns and personal defense. And so we'll talk about that and more, but we'll perhaps touch on the national election cycle too. We'll start with that. But let's, before we get rolling on that nonsense, let's begin with perhaps one of my favorite Jeff Cooper quotes, and there are a number, but one of the best comes from Fighting Handguns, published in 1958, and this is from page 128. Cooper wrote, "Firearms in the hands of people do make police dangerous. Firearms in the hands of the people do make police work dangerous. Excuse me. Any policeman would feel better if he knew there were no guns in town except his. This is the overwhelming reason why." And this, remember, this was published in 1958. Tell me if this doesn't sound like common sense. Firearms in the hands of the people do make police work dangerous. Any policeman would feel better if he knew there were no guns in town except his. This is the overwhelming reason why police officials should never be treated as experts in the field of firearms legislation. Any hardworking cop would like to see wiretapping, universal fingerprinting, compulsory testimony, search without warrant, self-incrimination, and detention without bail made legal. It would make his hard, underpaid, dangerous, and often heroic job easier. But much as we sympathize with the policeman's lot, we cannot pass laws for his benefit if they encroach upon the liberty that we established this country to ensure. I hope it never comes to a choice, but if necessary, an American worthy of the name would prefer to live in a lawless anarchy rather than in a tyrannical police state. And I don't know about you, but I have obviously the subject of this general schizophrenia that plagues America has been the subject of recent broadcasts. And I have struggled with this concept so eloquently stated by Jeff Cooper. And the fact that, you know, would one really prefer a lawless anarchy rather than a tyrannical police state? Well, I think we are rapidly approaching, if not at the place where we could consider America fairly tyrannical police state. I have personally seen in a few not so large towns and small towns how this concept of a tyrannical police state has taken shape and has really plagued and alarmed the general populace, particularly the local populace. And so I think the simple question that we all need to ask ourselves is one that I've asked a few people on a few occasions, and that is, when you see law enforcement officials when you're out driving around, and I don't know about you, but when I see Homeland Security police, for instance, in small town USA, it's very, very strange to me. I've talked about that a few times, and if you've seen those SUVs with that stripe on the side that says Homeland Security and it says police on it, DH police, it's just bizarre. You can search it online. It makes one wonder, what did we ever do before Homeland Security? And the concept of the homeland in America, for starters, is anathema in America, or at least it was after the Second World War. And the folks who fought so vehemently to beat back the forces of tyranny and defend freedom, personal freedom, and individual liberty, I don't think would ever have allowed this to happen. But we've been losing those folks, more and more of them, with each passing year in recent years. And at the same time, as I've said before, I feel like there is a slide. We're sliding off the slippery slope. They were a bulwark in our society, and they prevented us from crossing certain lines that we should never cross. And now it seems there is no line we won't cross. You can feel that in the standards of morality and ethics. And there seems to be really no standard of morality in America these days. It's very disconcerting and even frightening, I would say. So those words from Jeff Cooper in 1958, I think, really echo through society today. And it's interesting, you know, this is the same issue we've been plagued by we were plagued by throughout the 20th century, certainly, and we've been plagued by in the 21st century as well. So with that said, let us jump off a little bit and talk about this national election cycle. And I think it's important always when we begin discussing the national election cycle to shed some light on the fraud and the chicanery of the parlor trick, really, that is national elections. There are so many ways, there's such a variety of ways that the national election cycle is hijacked, really, and polluted and controlled. It's difficult to get into in perhaps one broadcast, but one of my favorite points of note on that is the national election pool. Of course, it's interesting that it's so obvious, it's so painfully obvious, and yet no one seems to notice for years, for decades even. The local news has told us who we're voting for, and often before we even get to the polls, and no one ever questions that. fascinating. An organization that's been rebranded a number of times over the decades, in existence since at least the mid-60s, the National Election Pool, according to the meager Wikipedia entry, because that keeps getting whittled down. Funny that. I remember in the not-so-distant past, that Wikipedia entry was fairly large and fairly damning, quite frankly, and now it's just a few sentences. Very meager entry. But the National Election Pool, according to the Wikipedia entry, is a consortium of American news organizations, and a consortium by definition is typically international in nature, if I'm not mistaken. An association typically of several businesses and companies. Okay, so the National Election Pool is a consortium of American news organizations formed in 2003. That's disingenuous. It was rebranded. It was the Voter News Service, the VNS, rebranded. It's interesting. To make it sound like it's a completely different organization, the Wikipedia entry says the National Election Pool was formed in 2003, and then skipping forward, the precursor was the Voter News Service, which was disbanded in 2003 after controversies over the 2000 and 2002 election results. I've mentioned, remember the hanging Chad nonsense, the way that they tried to skirt the fact that vote rigging was obviously taking place. See, people don't realize black box voting is not the top of the food chain. That's down the line. This gets closer to where the real scandal lies. If you think about it, if the National Election Pool is rigging results, then what excuse could they possibly have? And furthermore, well, I'll get to the how they arrive at their data, or how they receive or get their data here in a moment. So hopefully that makes sense. The Voter News Service it's the same organization, essentially, and it's always rebranded as a result of scandal. And the backstory on that, the history on that, is, of course, not included in the Wikipedia entry. How convenient. But the National Election Pool, formed in 2003 to provide, quote, information on election night about the vote count, election analysis, and election projections. Election projections, end quote. Member companies consist of ABC News, Associated Press, CBS News, CNN, Fox News, and NBC News. The organization relies on the Associated Press to perform vote tabulations. Convenient. To perform vote tabulations, and contracted with Edison Research and Mitofsky International to make projections and provide exit poll analysis. Edison Research has provided this data since 2004. So, again, the precursor was the Voter News Service, which was disbanded in 2003 after controversies over the 2000 and 2002 election results. Well, why would the organization formed to provide information on election night be disbanded after controversies? Do you understand? It's because they provided election results that seemed to corroborate the vote count, but wait, when the votes were actually counted, which they weren't supposed to be, it turned out that information was incorrect all the way up the chain of command. But obviously, no one bothered to look, or no one dared look beyond the Voter News Service at the time. So why didn't we go further up the chain, if that makes sense? So grassroots vote counts established the fact that there was vote rigging and chicanery, and of course the Voter News Service corroborated the information in the rigged vote count, if that makes sense, in both the 2000 and 2002 election results. But no one bothered. Does that make sense? The Voter News Service projected the same phony numbers that the rigged election count came up with, but the actual vote count proved otherwise. And so there were a number of posturing techniques like the hanging Chad nonsense to try to justify rigged numbers. Oh, well, this is what happened. No. So explain how a hanging Chad, I suppose the question is, how does the hanging Chad issue explain the corroboration or the correlation of the Voter News Service data corresponding to the rigged vote count data? Does that make sense? The votes were never supposed to be truly counted. So the Voter News Service projected erroneous data, falsified data, fallacious data, and the rigged vote count corroborated that fallacious data, and the actual vote count proved both of those to be false. So how was there a correlation? No one bothered to check. Furthermore, we still have this organization. Shouldn't that be a huge concern? Shouldn't it just be painfully obvious? When this organization has proven to be corroborating vote rigging, why do we still have this organization? It's a fraudulent organization that provides fallacious corroborative data. That's really its purpose. If we want to be fully above board about its purpose, it's part of the parlor trick. So continuing with the meager Wikipedia entry, National Election Pool plan is largely the suggestion of CNN, which used Edison Mitofsky as consultants in the past. Mitofsky headed the original pool that preceded the VNS. So, as I said before, it's essentially the same organization with the same corrupt players and the same corrupt plan, the same corrupt organizational structure. Just rebranded, new name, a rebadging, if you will. The organizers of the pool insist, but here's where it gets really interesting, and the fraud seems to be pretty self-evident, even in this meager Wikipedia entry. The organizers of the pool insist that the purpose of their quick collection of exit poll data, you know, I've asked the question many times. We've actually asked folks during the national election cycle on election day, please call in if you are polled at an exit poll. Who has ever been or known anyone who's been to an exit poll, let alone would actually disclose any information? Never happens. Funny that. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others, and you're welcome to call in.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over. and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Talking about the national election cycle this time around, and the chicanery and the hijinks that always surround it, that it is plagued by. And, you know, these candidates that we have that have been foisted upon us, they are never the people's candidates. I would vote for just about anyone, any ordinary Joe off the street, rather than the folks that we see in each national election cycle. Because those folks, well, the tyranny, the tyranny that moves forward in lockstep, regardless of which wing of the same bird is in view in office, whether right wing or left wing, it's the same bird. Republican, Democrat, those are specious titles. It's the administrators, it's the experts, the technocrats behind the scenes who really run things. You know, Colonel Edward Mandel House, who was not a colonel, wrote about that in his anonymous book, Philip Drew Administrator, published, I believe, back in 1921. But he wrote about these administrators, these technocrats, these experts running things from behind the scenes, with the figurehead obviously being somewhat arbitrary, which again calls to mind things like the business plot, for example, which was the alleged political conspiracy in 1933 of international industrialists to overthrow America. And they were trying to conscript retired Marine Corps Major General Smedley Darlington Butler to their cause, to lead their their coup. And Smedley Butler blew the whistle on them. And interestingly enough, the McCormick-Dickstein committee was convened, and it took Smedley Butler's testimony and suppressed and redacted most of it to the public, which was unfortunate. And so, as I've mentioned in the past, John Spivak's article series titled Wall Street's Fascist Conspiracy, published in 1935, were very informative on exposing the cover-up of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee and the real conspirators. And it's very interesting. In 1936, William Dodd, the U.S. ambassador to Germany, wrote a letter to President Roosevelt in which he stated, quote, "A clique of U.S. industrialists is hell-bent to bring a fascist state to supplant our democratic government and is working closely with the fascist regime in Germany and Italy. I've had plenty of opportunity in my post in Berlin to witness how close some of our American ruling families are to the Nazi regime." Remember Brown Brothers Harriman, for example, and the Hamburg shipping line and so forth. Remember Prescott Bush and how Congress took a few dollars away from him, a few million dollars, I believe, at least for a period of time while this controversy subsided. Continuing with William Dodd's quote, "A prominent executive of one of the largest corporations told me point blank that he would be ready to take definite action to bring fascism into America if President Roosevelt continued his progressive policies. Certainly, American industrialists had a great deal to do with bringing fascist regimes into being in both Germany and Italy." Shocking quote. There's more. We'll get to that when we come back. Stick around. More after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. Oh, changes, changes. So many changes, so much has changed. You know, it reminds me of Aldous Huxley's disturbing quote, "The term of history and its enigmatic lesson consist in the fact that from age to age, nothing changes, and yet everything is completely different." I've mentioned Arnold J. Toynbee's study of history and the sophistry of language, the way that cultures and civilizations are shifted. For example, if you recall, last week was one of the most recent mentions of Toynbee's study of history, the 12-volume series by Arnold J. Toynbee, the macro historian extraordinaire across the pond. But Toynbee talking about, the quote, if we take as a test the sophistry of language, and from Toynbee's study of history, he wrote this: if we take as a test case the eruption of a modern Western secular civilization out of the medieval Western Respublica Christiana, we may find it illuminating to begin on the lines of our inquiry in the first half of this chapter by citing the evidence of words that had undergone a change of meaning and usage. Who changed them and why should be the question. And we may begin with the word cleric, Toynbee wrote. Side by side with the word the clerk in holy orders, we have the humble secular clerk who in England performs minor office work and in America serves behind the counter in a store. Conversion, which once implied the turning of the soul toward God, is now more familiar in such contexts as the conversion of coal into electric power or the conversion of a 5% into a 3% stock. We hear little of a cure of souls, but much of the cures of the body performed by drugs. And holy day has become holiday. All this betokens a linguistic disetherealization, which merely symbolizes a secularization of society. And so the question again arises, who changed the meaning and usage of these words and why? Because there seems to be a coordinated effort to do so, does there not? These are not accidental things or coincidental. So back to the national election cycle. And again, the folks, the influencers, the suggestibilists, we know that propaganda and the scientific technique employing propaganda have made great strides. The concepts that Edward Bernays laid out, for example, in his book Propaganda, published in 1928, paved the way for things like the Rand Corporation's game theory, for example, and the perfecting of the artful science of Hegelian dialectical conflict as a model for societal change, getting folks to think as two points in an argument are collided together and people are moved on a continuum, getting folks to think that these are their ideas, that they're adopting these ideas. It's fascinating to watch how quickly and easily this happens these days in society. There is apparently no line we're not willing to cross. And I mean, for instance, how quickly and easily, for example, Bernie Sanders supporters have fallen in line with whatever the next party line candidate, establishment candidate, is foisted upon them. Hillary Clinton is a criminal, quite frankly. Anyone else in her position that has come under so much fire and scandal and controversy in recent months would probably already, if they weren't part of the fascist cabal, this tightly grouped unit that doesn't break ranks, anyone else would probably be headed to prison by now. But not Hillary Clinton, it seems. So I've mentioned in that storyline the Washington Times article. I don't think so. But we know that, speaking of the Washington Times, I've mentioned the Washington Times article titled James Comey, FBI Director Comey, says Hillary Clinton not sophisticated enough to understand classified markings. And we've heard Bill Clinton, the impeached perjurer and liar, we seem to forget these things. There's no line we're not willing to cross. We've heard Bill Clinton say repeatedly, or we've heard Bill Clinton misrepresent the facts along these lines. We've heard Hillary Clinton give testimony. We've seen everything that she testified to as matters of fact, points of fact, be proven false. And there are, I would allege, co-conspirators, including FBI Director James Comey, who told Congress in July that Hillary Clinton wasn't sophisticated enough to know she was risking national security when she sent and received classified information. So if she's not sophisticated enough to know that she's sending, let's just pretend for a moment this is true, and this just isn't flagrant disregard and hubris, just unprecedented hubris. Let's pretend for a moment that there is no conspiracy here, because it just smacks of conspiracy to me. The FBI director says Hillary Clinton wasn't sophisticated enough. Okay, well, let's pretend that's possible and true, which I believe it is not, patently false, a fabrication. But let's pretend it is. If she's not sophisticated enough to know she was risking national security, why on earth would anyone find her sophisticated enough to hold the office of president? Where is the logic? Yet people fall in line. I mean, I would love to ask that question of the folks who have these bumper stickers on their car. And the Stockholm syndrome is so rampant, so pervasive. This society of folks who run around shouting Orwellian slogans, land of the free, home of the brave, don't seem to understand how completely gelded and inured they are by the Stockholm syndrome in their support of awful tyrants and despots like Hillary Clinton. If she's not sophisticated enough to know she was risking national security, as FBI Director James Comey suggested back in July to Congress, why on earth would she be sophisticated enough to hold the office of president? Comey said certainly she should have known not to send classified information. She said that she did not. Bill Clinton corroborated that after it was proven otherwise. Haggling about the designations, the letters used to designate the different types of information, and he misrepresented the truth. As did Hillary Clinton, as did Director Comey, it seems, saying certainly she should have known not to send classified information. He said, I think she was extremely careless. I think she was negligent. That I could establish. What we can't establish is that she acted with the necessary criminal intent. Aha. So you have to have criminal intent? That's interesting, because I've mentioned, for instance, the Intercept article. If the FBI believes, if the FBI director believes that you must act with criminal intent, then what is it doing in its policing and its preemptive prosecution program in collaboration with the Department of Justice? The Project Salaam study, titled Inventing Terrorists. Remember that? Inventing Terrorists, the Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution. That was a study by Project Salaam published back in May of 2014 that proved, well, these words from the summary. The statistical analysis shows that 72.4% of convictions on the DOJ list represent cases of preemptive prosecution. That's almost three quarters of them right out of the gates. Represent cases of preemptive prosecution that were based on suspicion of the defendant's perceived ideology. Suspicion of the defendant's perceived ideology and not criminal intent, obviously, but suspicion of the defendant's perceived ideology. That does that sound like future crimes to you? Continuing, and not on his or her criminal activity or even the intent, criminal intent, let alone the activity. Another 21.8% of convictions on the DOJ list represent people who began on their own to engage in minor non-terrorist criminal activity, but whose cases were manipulated and inflated by the government to appear as though they were terrorists. This obviously includes the FBI in corroborating this manufacturing of the appearance of terrorists. These cases are referred to in the study as elements of preemptive prosecution or elements. Overall, 94.2% of all the terrorism-related convictions on the DOJ list, 94.2%, almost 95%. Think about that, 9.42 out of 10. 94.2% of all the terrorism-related convictions on the DOJ list have been either preemptive prosecution cases or cases that involved elements of preemptive prosecution. And this, of course, involves the FBI, because who is gathering this information? Well, again, from the summary of the Project Salaam study, Inventing Terrorists, the Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution. From the beginning of the study, these words: this study, sponsored by two national organizations, Project Salaam and the National Coalition to Protect Civil Freedoms, focuses on post-9/11 claims by the U.S. government that it keeps the country safe from terrorism by arresting hundreds of so-called terrorists, quote-unquote, who were about to strike the U.S. until the FBI foiled their plots. In fact, this study shows that there have been remarkably few actual terrorism threats to this country in the last decade. The vast majority of arrests are in the war on terror have consisted of the FBI foiling its own entrapment plots or the government arresting people on material support for terrorism charges that effectively criminalize innocent conduct, such as charitable giving and management, free speech, free association, peacemaking, and social hospitality, or inflation of minor and technical incidents into terrorism events, such as immigration application inaccuracies, old weapons charges, or inaccurate statements to governmental officials. The study shows that the war on terror has been largely a charade designed to make the American public believe that a terrorist army is loose in the U.S., when the truth is that most of the people convicted of terrorism-related crimes posed no danger to the U.S. and were entrapped by a preventive strategy known as preemptive prosecution. The theme of the study links preemptive prosecution to the metaphor of lawfare, the use of the law as a weapon of war, in this case, the war on terror. That is the FBI's involvement, obviously. And so if, as Director Comey suggests in the case of Hillary Clinton, that she did not, or as he said, what we can establish is that she acted with the necessary criminal intent, why is the same standard not applied to these hapless, unwitting folks framed by the FBI? And again, I've mentioned in the past, but the New York Times article published back in 2012 comes to mind. It's a New York Times article, and it's titled "Terrorist Plots Hatched by the FBI" by David Shipler, published April 28th, 2012, New York Times. Remember that article? "Terrorist Plots Hatched by the FBI." the Oregon, Pioneer Square bomber, Muhammad, who was literally a passenger in his own terror plot, driven there by an FBI, an undercover FBI agent. And there are many more. The Intercept article about the 9 lost souls. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Stick around more after this break.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Terrorists. terrorist plots hatched by the FBI. Again, New York Times article. Remember these incidents? Speaking of criminal intent, it kind of sounds like the FBI operates with criminal intent. You know, Director Comey, FBI Director Comey, said, testified before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee regarding Hillary Clinton and the email scandal. Certainly she should have known not to send classified information. She should have known. But she wasn't sophisticated enough to know she was risking national security. But somehow, someone, somewhere, many someones apparently, believe she's sophisticated enough to hold the office of president. How ironic. How painfully ironic. Stockholm syndrome, anyone? Director Comey testified, certainly she should have known not to send classified information. I think she was extremely careless, he testified. I think she was negligent. He said that I could establish. What we can't establish, he said, is that she acted with the necessary criminal intent. So, according to Director Comey, her lapses came out of ignorance, not out of an effort to share secret information with America's enemies. He also told the Justice Department he believes the law imposing penalties for mishandling classified information, which does not on its face require criminal intent, may be unconstitutional. The director said that making an example out of Hillary Clinton would have been celebrity hunting, and that would have been unfair to her. He said, I know that frustrates people, but that's the way the law is. That's the practice in the Department of Justice. Interesting. It sounds like a double standard. And Congressman Jason Chaffetz out of Utah, the Oversight Committee chairman, said, the average American, if they'd done what you laid out, they'd be in handcuffs. I suggested, and I say again, I suggest that, as Chaffetz put it, the average American, had they done that, would already probably be in prison. Criminal intent. She did not, they could not establish the necessary, that she acted with the necessary criminal intent. Well, that's interesting because Mohammed was a passenger in his plot orchestrated by the FBI. Remember that? The Pioneer Square bomber? Mohammed was literally a passenger in his own terror plot. The FBI orchestrated the entire plot, including providing the van loaded with 655-gallon drums of inert material, harmless blasting caps, and a detonator cord, and a gallon of diesel fuel to make the van smell flammable. An undercover FBI agent even did the driving with Mr. Mohammed, a passenger, literally and figuratively, in his own terror plot. So the FBI orchestrated the whole thing from start to finish. Who had the criminal intent? He was framed. Mohammed. What about James Cromedy? Remember him and his buddies? Cromedy loses his job at Walmart, has no transportation, and the low-level undercover FBI informant says, hey, I could probably pay you $250,000 to bomb a mosque or something. What do you think? And Cromedy says, well, I lost my job at Walmart.